This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Like it. It's always the way when you suddenly load a video and realise that the video isn't necessarily the right size and you can't load it, you have to do it a different way. So yeah, I am joined by the mystery man himself, Omar. He's back with us again. We are highly gracious to have his visit again. Obviously, you know Joe. Welcome, Joe. And we are joined by Sam from the Blue Focus podcast, which is a Birmingham podcast. We were going to have on a little bit later, but we've done it back to front now, so we're doing it this way instead. So yeah, all good. Welcome to the show, Sam. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Looking forward to this one. I mean, it's going to be tense, isn't it, because of all the teams down there sort of mixed around in the relegation zone. It's going to be a close contest, but looking forward to it nevertheless.
Yeah, as long as we win, it'll be good as gold. So yeah, no, that's it. So yeah, I'll let you, either you, Omar, or Joe, you can start with you can start with Sam. And I've also promised that we won't mention Rooney, okay? So yeah, or Rowett, okay? So yeah.
Oh, Gary Rowett, yeah, that's a mutual thing on that one. What do you think of the Saturday, Sam? Anyway, I mean, you boys have been about of sorts last 3 games from what I've seen.
We've had some tough games recently. I mean, I suppose you look at the Championship nowadays, every game is a tough game, but the teams you've had to play, we've had to play Southampton, who are right up there, Hull that are right up there, and then we've also had difficult fixtures against Leicester in the Cup as well. So we've had these fixtures that we've had to come through, and obviously with Tony Mowbray not being in the dugout, that's also working against us as well because of his health at the moment. He should be back in the dugout in around 4 to 5 weeks, so wishing the best for Tony Mowbray, but in due course, we've sort of kicked on a little bit from a bad run of things. We've got a point against Hull midweek with a Lukas Jukovic header. Mr. Reliable, as always. Lukas Jukovic has been there, done it in the Championship so many times. And with the direct style that we look to play with Jukovic up front, it's that simple case of get the ball on his head and get yourself back in the game. It took him 2 minutes to score when he came on. And we are really sort of banking on these players to get us out of jail time and time again. So we find ourselves in 20th place, you guys in 18th. It's going to be a close contest on Saturday with lots to play for.
Well, how long has Jukovic been with Birmingham now? Because I thought he left last summer. I honestly, I speak on behalf of all Millwall fans, I can't stand him personally because he's always seems to do well against us. Joe, I'm sure you agree with me, mate, because honestly, yeah. Jukovic for me has always been that kind of a bit of a bogey player for us. Same with Marlon King when he was with you boys as well. And he's been there like 7-8 years now, isn't he, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, Lukas Jukovic's been at the club for, 8 years now. So he joined in 2016 when Gary Rowett was manager, actually. Signed him on loan and then signed permanent in that January because it was only like a 2-month loan or something. And he's been brilliant for us. Like the amount of times that he's got us out of jail, like time and time again with these relegation battles. And he's getting on now. He's in his last year of his contract as well. So whether he'll be a Birmingham player next season or not, I'm not completely sure. But I mean, we had it last season when we were in a bit of trouble looking over our shoulder and we played Millwall at the Den and he turned up with a goal then. So, yeah, living up to the bogey player status, as you say.
Yeah. Dare I say, he's the sort of player that I think we can do with at the moment. I think we're crying out for a complete centre-forward, someone who can do a bit of everything, you know, someone who can hold a ball up, score headers. Yeah, he's fairly mobile for a fairly large big guy. And, yeah, he scored against us last week. We played against you guys as well. How is Jay, is it Stanfield?
Jay Stansfield.
You've got him on loan from Fulham at the moment. Is he sort of hitting the form for you at the moment? Is he someone who you think you're going to start with tomorrow? Or what's the thoughts there then?
Well, he was rested against Hull midweek, and it came to a bit of a shock by many that we rested a lot of key players in our team. It almost looked like we set up that team to focus on the Millwall game on Saturday, if that makes sense.
That's how we saw it, exactly that.
And that's how I perceived it as well. And we were lucky to get a point in that game, and Stansfield's been one of our best players this season. I can safely say he won't be a Championship player next season. I really think he'll be playing in the Premier League for Fulham. And the way that he is, like the way that he sort of moves around the pitch and picks up these correct positions, because we've had it so often with strikers in the past where you have to sort of give it to their feet and it has to be the perfect service for him, whereas Stansfield can make something out of nothing. And I'd say he's the best striker we've had since Che Adams. And the impact that he's had on the team, put it this way, if Stansfield wasn't a Birmingham player, I reckon he'd be in the relegation zone at the moment. So we have a lot to be thankful with Stansfield. And he could have departed in January. There was rumours he was going to be recalled by Fulham to go to a higher up club like Ipswich or something. Mm. And we're really lucky to still have him.
He seems to run the line quite well as a forward. Yeah, he's very intelligent player. You sort of see the positions he takes up. Like you say, he can run the channels and get into those areas where you can sort of hurt teams. But, what's the general consensus amongst Birmingham fans, against tomorrow's game? Is it a game of sort of fear, happy to get a draw, or do they feel confident they're going to go and go for the win? What's the general thought process there?
I think the Blues fans are more confident after the point we picked up against Hull. Obviously, we're going to be anxious because of where Millwall are in the league and how close it all is down the bottom. And we've seen it so many times before where we drag it out and leave it till the last possible moment to get us out of survival. But looking at the Millwall game, I can see it being a very mixed game in terms of, chances for both teams, because Millwall like to play, obviously Neil Harris now, direct style of football, whereas we'll try and sort of play it around a bit more. But it's not worked out for us this season trying to play attractive style of football, because with Rooney it completely was a car crash. I know you guys said you weren't going to mention him. I just mentioned him then.
You mentioned it for us.
Yeah, I feel like I have to bring it up to give you context of our season so far. But it's so important down there, and I think for both teams as well. I mean, you've only what's the statistic I saw? It was 1-10 for Birmingham against Millwall, and that came last season. So you guys have been a bogey side for us, really. I mean, having to come to the Den, we haven't been as successful recently than we have been in the past. And hopefully the players don't look too much into the form and just look at the game as it is tomorrow. And hopefully for the Birmingham fans' sake, we can come away with 3 points. But I'm sure you'll see stuff in the Birmingham side that you'll think we can exploit that.
Yeah, I hate Birmingham for the time that they beat us in the playoffs when Stern John scored.
See, I wasn't going to mention that. You mentioned that.
was you around for it? How old are you, Sam?
I'm 22, so I was, 1 year old for that?
Oh, right, because you remember it well, don't you?
Not quite.
But, I don't remember too often you beating us at the Den, to be fair, but that was one that does sort of stick out, unfortunately, for the wrong reasons. And what's that player like? Pike? Is it Pike? Is he a new sign of yours in midfield? He seems like a decent player. What's he about? Is he kind of an industrial sort of player? Is he quite creative? It just seems like he's a good signing for you, doesn't he?
So he's someone that Blues fans haven't seen in a long time in terms of a midfielder, holder midfielder that's actually comfortable with the ball. Because Birmingham are known for sort of, everybody's got to fight for the ball, give 100% and, run like yourself into the ground. Yeah, exactly. And I think Birmingham will share a very similar ethos as clubs as well with what they look for, sort of both proper clubs. But with Paxton Ho, he's brought a bit of class to the midfield, something that we haven't seen in a long time, where it's actually someone that's comfortable receiving the ball in tight areas and can make the most of it. He's had to sort of get up to speed a bit, so he's not played a full 90 minutes for us yet, I don't think. And he's been sort of monitored into the team where he's played 60 minutes here, 70 minutes there, because the season in Korea actually ended in December. So he hasn't played first team football in a while, and we signed him sort of right before the deadline. So it's all about phasing him in. But from what I've seen from Paxton Ho, he's been pretty good so far, and someone that I think is only going to get better.
You talk about players that give their all for the shirt. I'm surprised to see Ollie Burt's not played recently for you lot. I mean, he's not played the last six or seven games, has he? Yeah, he was likewise for us. I think he's a bit Marmite. Well, I think most people disliked him at Millwall, to be honest, but he's not really been involved, has he, last six or seven games?
No, he's not even been on the bench, and he's someone that Rooney did give a chance to up front. We sort of played like a 4-2-2 system where he was up front with either Stansfield or Hogan. But with Burke, I think what Birmingham fans have seen from him, not been pleased because of the fact that he can't really like hold up the ball. And when he runs with the ball, he's got a lot of pace, but not a lot of end product with it. And it all just looks a bit messy. And I think he doesn't really fit into the way that Tony Mowbray wants to play football, because he wants his wingers to be direct, comfortable on the ball. And I just think that Burke doesn't have that comfortable nature on the ball to be able to hurt other teams, because with Blues this season, we've been able to score goals, but it's at the other end that we've really struggled. So I think in terms of the all-round game, Burke hasn't really had a chance under Mowbray, and I don't think he's earned one particularly because of how he's played this season.
Mm. At least he hasn't dropped his standards any lower than he was when we had him last couple of seasons. Obviously, it's a very similar sort of player. Lots of great attributes, like you say, with pace and everything else, but he just hasn't got the football intelligence, I think, at the Championship level to really impact games to make a difference, has he, sadly. Mm. You've got the other player on the winger, the other Asian chat. Is it Miyoshi, I think his name is?
Koji Miyoshi, yeah.
Miyoshi. What's he like? Is he someone we'd be sort of concerned and worried about? I mean, he seems like a tricky kind of inside forward winger, doesn't he?
I do actually expect Miyoshi to start the game against Millwall tomorrow, because he didn't feature in the starting 11 whole midweek, and he's someone that I've been really pleased with so far this season. Mm. He came from Royal Antwerp. He's played European Football Conference League and Europa League, and he's someone that Craig Gardner is really excited about. He's like our sort of technical director, and when he was brought in, he was a bit of an unknown quantity. Not many Blues fans knew who he was before he signed, but they certainly know who he is now, because he's popped up with some really big goals for us. He scored the winner against Sunderland, and also in the FA Cup against Hull, he scored a winner. And he just pops up with goals here and there, finds himself in the right place at the right time. And his work rate is really good as well, the way that he sort of tracks back. And he's really defensively intelligent as well as attacking-wise as well. So Miyoshi's been really pleasing to see this season. And one of the high points for me this season, I think.
Interesting. One more player. I feel like I'm naming your whole squad here. A player that I quite like is Laird, your fullback. Mm. I mean, I remember at Man United in one of your youth cup finals for Man United a few years ago. He looked like some player. He was out on loan to a couple of teams, I think. And when I heard Birmingham sign him, which I think they signed him on a free, I think, from memory, it was just a shrewd bit of business. He's always quite versatile. He could play a right back or left back, can't he? Although right back, I think, is his preferred position, isn't it?
He's had to play both this season because of the defensive injuries that we've had. I mean, coming into this game, we've got Emmanuel Iwu at centre-back, but the rest of the centre-backs are either suspended or injured. So we're really injury-stricken at the back. And Led's had to play both left-back and right-back. And from what I've seen, he's been impressive. But Led's also suffered with injuries this season. So he's had a good run of games now, probably his best run of games of the season in terms of featuring week in, week out. And his attacking ability is really good, and something, again, that Birmingham fans aren't too used to seeing, because we're used to seeing that back four quite regimented, whereas now the fullback's getting a bit more freedom to go up the pitch and be creative. And
what's he like, Sam, on the back foot?
He's fast, so
defensively.
Should we jump off over? Yeah,
no, just intrigued to sort of know how Bogle are set up and their style of play, because our defenders are very kind of defensive minded under Harris at the moment. You don't really see our fullbacks pushing forwards, whereas Laird, I always see him as an attacking fullback. But what's he like on the back foot? Is he prone to making mistakes? Is he quite defensively quite assured, or what's he like defensively?
I think from what I've seen, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but then again, it's been a bit of a mixed bag for the whole of the defence, so you can't really single it out on one person. Like, there was one moment in the game against Hull where Les tried to clear it three times and he's missing the ball every time, and you're like, right, God, just get it under your foot or do something with it. But he is a pretty calm person in the back line. That's what I would say about Led. So when it seems to be a bit turbulent, then Led can put in a challenge or come out with the ball, do something that is going to reassure the rest of the back line. So I'd say Led is definitely one of our better players when fit.
So, Sam, so looking at the stats then, Birmingham lead us overall, 56 meetings we've had across all competitions. Birmingham leads us 24 games to 15. Obviously, the last game we had in September was a draw there, but there's been a few questions. There's been a few bits of piss take against Joe as well. we normally say shut the fuck up, Joe. So basically, that's what a lot of people do, as you can do.
I thought it's a podcast, not a fucking library. What's going on?
But the thing is, though, Joe, right, is that if those of you watching, if you want to go on our Twitter feed, you'll see that Joe went on another podcast the other day and left a voice message. And if you listen to their show, they said pretty much the same as what you're saying, is that, you know, is Joe really a Brummy in disguise, because he seems to know the whole of the Birmingham team from goalkeeper to the front one. So we got a few questions what are coming for you, which I was highlighting them as you were speaking. I couldn't necessarily get involved straight away because my missus and my daughter were doing some food, so that's why I was on mute and you could hear him. So yeah, so the first one is Blues fan Sam. If you were the owner, would you have got rid of Mowbray?
Why would you do that when he just come in?
No, I know.
Absolutely not. We've had enough turbulence.
Listen, we read the questions as they are. That's it. Do you know what I mean? If they make no sense.
On his deathbed, David. Give him a break. you're ill, and we're going to fucking sack you as well.
Yeah, Peter Sullivan can't believe that Rowett signed a striker for you, because he fucking didn't sign any for us.
It was a mixed bag of Rowett.
You've got John Merritt. John watches our show quite religiously, to be fair. And he said, evening all, I've heard Jungie described as many things. Mobile is never one of them.
Mobile, compared to the fours we've had over the years.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Is there anyone injured in your team?
Yes. We've got quite a few injuries. I mean, to think of them off the top of my head, as I said, defensively.
Sorry, don't worry. Joe, who's injured in their team?
Is Bakuna back in the injury now, is he? And Dembele?
Yeah, Bakuna's fit. The main absentees for us. Dembele's available, I'd say.
Is he? Oh, damn.
Yeah,
yeah. Didn't want to hear
that. Dembele's available. Mark Roberts is out injured for us at the back.
That's good.
Also, we've got, well, George Hall's just come back from injury, but literally just come back. So, first sub appearance in about a year. Alex Pritchard is also coming back to fitness. He made his second appearance after being out injured.
There's a question there from Alex there. Pritchard's is good. That Alex Pritchard fit for tomorrow?
I don't know if he'll be fit from the start, but I think he will play some minutes. That's what I'll say.
There's a bit of history Sam, with us and Alex Pritchard. I'm sure you'll find out about it.
Yeah. David has come up with another question. He said, "You look taller than. Are you sitting down because you look taller than Crouch if you're standing up? How tall are you? And don't say you're 5'3" and you've got an extended. No. That's really bad.
Nah, I'm 6'1".
Oh, okay, it's not that bad then. Same as Omar thereabouts and Joe then. Not that tall. It's just the way your seating position. Yeah. Chris says it sounds like you come from Surrey.
Well, there is a story to this. My dad's from Birmingham. His whole side of the family is from Birmingham, but I live in Ware in Hertfordshire. So that's where I've lived my whole life.
Do you know, that's really weird.
I've had that joke about 500 times in my life.
I was in Ware Town Centre last night having, you know, the Thai restaurant on the high street, right in the middle there. I was there last night.
Wow.
So, quite mad. So, you won't know that. Armits or Manzies, pie mash shops.
The answer's Manzies.
Have you had pie mash before?
Yeah. I've had a pie mash because, well, better not mention this on this podcast, but my mum's side of the family is West Ham.
Unfortunately for you, Sam, the abuse will start coming in now. So, yeah.
I chose Birmingham over West Ham. So.
That's a fair choice, yeah. Burke's dress sense probably fits well enough for there. Ollie Burke is the greatest agent in the world. And Blue fan, who is your best player? Why do you keep saying over to Mickey? You can ask directly, David. So, yeah, Blues player. Who would you... Where is it? It's ours, isn't it? Who would you think is our best player?
Millwall's
who's the one
player
you want to watch is in ours, yeah?
Oh, well, you look at Millwall's team this season. I would have said one of your strikers, but they're all injured, aren't they? You've got Bradshaw injured, Nisbet injured. So I'd probably say...
We don't do strikers.
No.
They call utility players. They pretend to be strikers.
Yeah, we play the spare goalkeepers. We've got loads of them. We just play them.
So I take it there's no one that you're
probably going to be Fleming.
I worry about set pieces. So I know obviously Cooper's very tall. Maybe as tall as me. You never know.
He hasn't scored a goal this season yet, Cooper. And I've been back in the last three games to score a header. So
honestly, it's going to happen.
Back it again tomorrow. So here we go.
He's about 7'10".
There's a couple more before we obviously let you run off because you did jump off yours to come on to ours. So I much appreciate it for that. In fact, they had Jay on your show at seven, and then obviously you were going to have me, but you got Jay instead. Just one there before you run off, Alex S. He says, what was your thoughts on John Eustead sacking?
Good question.
Well, it's a thing where you've got to look at the bigger picture, because at the time, I wasn't happy at all with the sacking of Eustead because of where we were in the table. We were in sixth place going into international break, made all these sign-ins. It looked like Eustace had a big say in who was brought into the club, and then all of a sudden he left. So I was scratching my head thinking, what's going on here, especially when you bring in Wayne Rooney to replace him? And I was like, oh God, these owners. Like, we had a batch of really bad owners, and then these owners have come in, said some really good things about the club, and are doing a lot of good work. And I genuinely mean this, that I think it's the right people that made a wrong decision. And I'll maintain that it was a wrong decision, but getting Tony Mowbray in now, I think will be a good decision for the long term. But for the short term this season, that whole stint of Rooney really derailed our season and put us where we are at the moment. So to answer the question, don't agree with Eustace sacking, but it could work out long term.
He was doing really well, weren't he? Because when he took over, Birmingham were actually in a bit of a bad place, if you remember. And he kind of transformed. Yeah, he brought a bit of confidence into the side, played some good football. And obviously it's a shame it worked out the way it did for you guys, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully we're on the right track now, and we can stay afloat this season and really build from there.
Just before we do let you go,
I've just seen that.
Alex has just said it was similar to when you sat Rowett and brought Zola in.
Very similar. Very similar. I remember how I felt at that time, and it's very similar to how I felt at the time where Eustace was sacked. And when Zola was manager, he won what, 2 games in 22 or something? And we had Harry Redknapp come in and save us. And that was a weird time where, yeah, there was lots of stuff going on behind the scenes that was just unheard of with the amount of money that he was being promised to spend in the following window, which got us points deductions. And we have a bit of stability at the club now. I mean, on the pitch, it's been a bit turbulent this season, but off the pitch, I'm a lot more comfortable.
Well, that makes sense. So before you go, what's your prediction for tomorrow?
Ooh, prediction for tomorrow, I would say both teams to score. And I'll say Blues will nick it 2-1.
Wow. thanks for that one. And yeah, obviously that was how confident are you about Birmingham staying up. You sort of think that you'll probably do it. Personally, I think it's get used to the League One. It's a very lot of local derbies for you coming next season. And yeah, pretty much. That's it. Hopefully you take that third spot, because obviously I think Rotherham is obviously down, and hopefully there'll be someone else filling the second spot, and then obviously you filling that third spot.
That's Mickey's way of saying thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
At the end of the day, you've got to look at, you know, at the end of the day, I want us to stay up. If that means sacrificing you, then fuck it.
Do you know what I mean? Nice, Sam. You to go down.
Thanks for giving up your Friday evening, Sam. Coming on here being abused by our listeners, our viewers, and obviously having to put up with Joe for 20 minutes. But other than that, yeah, thanks for coming on, mate. Hopefully
really Birmingham goes down.
No, cheers. Thanks for coming on, Joe. Thanks for coming on, Sam. And hopefully we might get you on one of the championship shows coming up, what we do. So, yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good to have you on there and seeing what's what. So thanks for your time, Sam, and we'll speak again soon. No worries.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Right, then we go on now.
What a liberty. Fuck you. Who does he think he is, Sam? Come on his fucking show. Tell us he's going to beat us 2-1. I hated him. I fucking hated him.
Joe, don't give it just because they ripped you apart on the fucking voice note. You leave. You left. If you want to listen to Joe get cunted, no, listen. I'll post a link in a bit. It's on our thing. I can't think. It's called the Birmingham Show. I think it is. Joe done a voice note for him asking about four questions or answering four questions. They put him on. It sounded like, I don't know, it sounded like a Cheech and Chow show, didn't it, really? It sounded as if they were both battered.
They were. Just, is it Cheech and Chong? Cheech Chong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounded as if they were just sitting there with them. Yeah, proper, just like, yeah.
That could
yeah,
be a Brummie accent, to be fair, though, couldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It could well be, but yeah, right. Okay. We started a bit behind the front, so we're going to Blackburn. So, Omar, you were at Blackburn on Tuesday night. Do you want to give us your match report then, fella? Or actually, as you went up with Stephen and you had a night out with Stephen and Ben, do you want to give us on a day's diary of Omar for it, you know?
What would you like to know? The whole thing, right? So I met Stephen.
Just leave the sleeves.
How does Stephen drive? How does Stephen drive? Because obviously he is really small, like Hasbulla.
Did he have a booster seat? Did he have a booster seat?
Put it this way, it took 4 hours and about 15 or 20 to get up there. It would have took me about 3.5, I reckon. Stephen's an MPG really? Sort of driver, which I credit it, fair enough. He's conservative, so... yeah, I think I'll give him that. He's an MPG driver. He's watching the radar to see how many miles per gallon he's getting in. But no, it was a good trip up. It flew by to get up there. Obviously excited about the game. Obviously, you get closer.
I think you're going to say it flew by because I fell asleep.
We're going to set a world record for getting the lead,
aren't
we?
Yeah. I know. And then obviously, we got up to Manchester, what, about 2:30? And then, as Lions Roars just put in the chat, we had a few bevvies pre-game. So, I wasn't worse for wear. It's just a normal, typical away day face of mine, to be fair. It was a shit game, wasn't it? It was fucking dog shit throughout, to be honest. First half, 45 minutes of my life, I'm never going to get back. Second half was another 45 minutes, but with a goal to celebrate and the goal to concede, really, I suppose. It wasn't the greatest of games, but look, I think, I came out of that thinking it is survival mode. Harris's post-match press conference came, into that kind of effect, really, because, when you look at that overall, really, it's like it is survival mode. It is to try and get as many points as possible and just obviously get safe as quick as possible. Stephen didn't get laid. No, we didn't go out afterwards. It was we did have a couple in Blackburn after the game, which was very questionable. Some of the clientele, even, I have to say, it didn't really float anyone's fantasy, shall I say. But it was a good day out. But yeah, I did have a few beers pre-game, lines for all your.
Omar looked worse for wear in the ground. But that's not
it's
unusual
an away day.
For Omar.
It's an away day. Come on.
Omar's a 7 o'clock start drinking at 7 a.m. on the train.
It usually starts on the train. That's what I was going to say. If we even get there.
I didn't even have a drink pre-game. I did have a drink in the car on the way up. But yeah, I think it was a good day out. Look. It's at this stage, it's not about the football. I was thinking pre-game, like, come on, can we nick something today? And look, you look back at the game, Blackburn were a bit naff. Ben, after the game on the way back, me and him were debating, and it was an interesting kind of way
of looking
at the game.
Because I heard about this debate,
his tone was like, we were so shit. It's like, well, we've not been great anyway, the three games since Harris come in. Like, going forward, we've not been good. Like, if you think of it this way, we've had two set-piece goals at Southampton. And almost, if anything, two set pieces there, so a set piece against on the weekend just gone, So, like, we've not scored many goals in open play. Tuesday night was our first goal in open play with Obafemi, and he was quite fortunate to get that goal as well, to be honest. It's not going to be glorious football between now and the end of the season. I would like to see us let the shackles off a bit more. Yeah, 100%. But that's not going to happen because, look, you can't knock it. We've got 7 points out of 9 after 3 games with Harris in charge. And I would have bit your hand off for that 2 weeks ago. Do you know what I mean? So I'm grateful for the position we're in now because of that. But it isn't great to watch at the moment. But yeah, it's still not going to stop me going to the games and getting up to Leeds, for example, next Sunday. Because it's just about, as Harry said when he first came in, it's us against the world now and us staying up.
Omar, if you went 1-0 down and then equalised, do you think there'd be a different mindset amongst Ben and the rest of the fan base? Because it just almost felt like being 1-0 ahead... Mm-hmm. Blackburn didn't look that great. I don't know whether you felt the same watching it live, that it was an opportunity miss, and therefore 2 points dropped.
Yeah, I actually believe if we didn't make the mistake for the goal, we wouldn't have conceded. And it would have been, and then we would have been all sitting there going, cool, fucking 9 points out of 9, lads, fucking buzzing. Yeah. It doesn't matter how it comes at this point of the season. It's literally just get the points on the board. And that is the underlying tone for me but it is concerning because before the game, I was like, I want us to turn up. That's why I asked for every away game. Just turn up today, Millwall, because you make the effort to go there. And I'm like, just turn up. And by that, I mean, have a go. And we're not having a go. But at the same time, what we have got is a team that are defending for their lives. Do you know what I mean? So, same with Danny Matt hoofing it away. But also, George Savoy had a chance to hoof it away. And also Tanganga was on the floor injured for the goal and we were still playing on. It was a bizarre goal to give away on Tuesday, I felt like. But, you know, like ultimately, the most important thing is getting points on the board. And we tried it with Edwards, didn't work. And now it's just survival mode till now the end of the season. I think the question that we was all asking on Tuesday was, if we stay up, what's Harris going to do next season? Do we even keep him? But for me, like, if he keeps us up this year and he's the answer to keep us up, there's no reason why we won't. Yeah, he deserves a crack, but also he's probably the answer to keep us up next season. I'm not being negative by saying that, but he's probably the best suited person to give us the bare minimum, which we want and deserve.
And also, to that point, Omar, I think we'd see a different type of Harris management next season, because we start at zero. Yeah, we've got 46 games to go, and I think he will start with a bit more of the front foot attacking football going for it. The reason why he's playing the way he's playing at the moment is because, like you say, it's survival, isn't it? We've got to do what you've got to do.
We did do a poll at the beginning of the week after the Blackburn game, which said, if we stay up, do you want Harris in charge for the 24-25 season? Very, very close, just under 1,100 votes. And yes was 49.3% and no was 50.7%.
Just
before Joe starts taking over again, if you can press the like button, please do so. My name is Mickey Simpson. I am here. This is, I am not a mirage. I am honestly here. This is what I sound like, just in case you don't get to hear me again for the rest of the show. What I want to know is whether or not Joe and Jay have been passing the baton, so that Joe is now taking on Jay's baton, and then come Sunday night when Jay's back, we're basically seeing that there's another baton being passed back, and we go from there.
One thing I will say about the poll you just said there, Mickey, and it is 50-50 split. If we stay up, keep Harris in. I personally would give Harris the free crack of the whip next year to have a go, because he will have a go. And he's also thinking, you know, worst case scenario, I leave. And like for him to keep us up this year, he deserves the whip for next year to have a go. But what Ben said, and I do make him right, if we start the season next year and don't get a win in five, it's going to be five games and the pressure's on. Like, you know, there's going to be real kind of that kind of mentality of the past, of thinking about when he left previously. And that is the fear, but I think he deserves the opportunity because, and this is what I think, like, to be a middle manager, you need to be accountable and be a leader. And that's what we've had the last three games, where he's setting the message for the rest of the dressing room and giving the bare minimum.
But the thing is, did they necessarily listen on this last game?
Well, no, they did, though, because we're still grafting for our lives. So we lose that game under Joe Edwards if we play that way.
If we lose against Birmingham, then it's a wasted 2 points. If we draw or win, then it's a valued
a good point of the right sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, like,
we did do the draw for the, do you want him in charge for next year? A lot less, probably 271 votes on there. But it says, if we go down, do you want Harris in charge 24-25? Yes said 62.5% and no said 37%.
I think for me, though, with Harris, is like he's doing his Harris performance without wingers in the side. If he's here next season, you can bet we're going to have a right winger, left winger that are going to take players on. You could argue Adam May is the option and SA could probably have a role to play in this side. But it's about, you know, having players in there to graft out at the moment. But if he's given the opportunity to have a summer to sign a little man up front with a big man, and, you know, we go for that whole mentality of the 4-4-2, two wingers have a go. There's enough in that team for me to be excited about with a Harris in charge. But it's just, look, at this point, it's get to 50 points as quick as possible. And we're doing that. And yeah, tomorrow is huge. It is so fucking huge. But I think one thing we're guaranteed is we're going to defend for our lives. It's just going forward, we need that bit of quality, which he alluded to after the game as well. So he knows it himself.
I mean, Daily Mirror says Harris to replace Aldo. Will the football style change under Harris next year? Harris upstairs with a new coach.
Do you boys think Harris would want that? On that subject,
I don't know.
It's too soon for him, I think.
Mm. I want Kenny Jackett to be that director of football personally. He's at Gillingham doing that role. I don't know how comfortable he is at Gillingham, but I was going to say on Tuesday, because we had a conversation, Kenny Jackett is probably the ideal man to have that role. I don't know what the chat thinks of that, but I think if you want someone to know the club and understand it and also be a name in football, because everyone's talking about Aldo and, you know, how big is his contact book, and also, you know, if he's getting contacted to sign players and stuff. Kenny Jackett's got a reputation in the game and got that kind of know-how to sign players, I feel like, and knows what a middle player needs to be to play for us. I'd love to see Kenny Jackett get that role.
Especially his contacts with other managers, not necessarily players, but knowing other managers and knowing who to call on for recommendations and whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think so, personally.
Mm.
Well, I have found a new feature. I do not know if it will work or not, but we will see. and those in the chat will see in a second. It should come up in on YouTube now. There is a poll. Do you want Harris or Jacket as a director of football role? Would you want it? It's there. It's in the. It's a thing. It's a new thing. What I found. What we have going forward. We are progressing, gentlemen. Just need to fucking get Joe to shut the fuck up a bit, and we'll be all right. So yeah. How's your neck? My neck's all right, mate. If I sleep awkward or whatnot, sometimes I can really fuck myself up. And I had a motorbike accident when I was younger, and it's never really, you know, medicine back then wasn't great, and I've never really fucking.
It says a motorbike. It was actually a tricycle, wasn't it? When you were
no, saying, it was a motorbike. It was a 50. It was a 50cc moped. It was 16 years old, mate. I went through a green light, and the doctor went through a red light and met me in the middle. It was a Maestro, and I hit the back passenger door, went over, and I thought I'd died. I was all right. I wasn't that bad, and I'm laying on the floor. My crash helmet's come off. I'm laying on the floor, looking up, and literally I've sort of come round, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? What's going on? Blah blah blah. And I think, oh yeah, I've been here. And all of a sudden, I've got this fella over the top of me going, "Hey mate, you're right. Hey, you're right." And I thought I'd fucking died, mate. And I thought some cunt's put me in hell here. Do you know what I mean?
God's a scouse. Fucking hell.
Yeah. I want to go to hell now. I think Dan's wrong there. It's an interesting topic. I thought as well last week, 50 points or maybe 52. But teams are going to start playing each other now down there. We're playing Birmingham on Saturday, so both of us can't get 3 points. I think there's a few other games around us in the division that, you know, people start to play each other. I think 50 points will be the magic number, but it's just been a shame. Obviously, two wins back to back, and we haven't clawed away from the bottom three. That's the scary part. And yeah, I mean, that's when you look at Tuesday, it was a missed chance. But if anything, I'd have took the point prior to the game on Tuesday. I was saying, you know, I want us to do better and play well, but I would have took a nil-nil with no shots on target for either team on Tuesday, in hindsight, to be honest. I would have done
Jackets. Jackets winning at the minute, mate, on 67% of the vote.
Omar, just a quick question for you. Yep. Obviously, everyone's noticed Ian Fleming the last few games under Harris. Like, we've seen another level from him in his attitudes, commitment, the way he's playing. And he's almost, like, happy to be part of it all. Mm-hmm. That being said, do you think he will sign a new contract this summer?
He's only got a year left, hasn't he, as well? Yeah.
I don't know. So if he doesn't sign, obviously, I feel a bit reluctant to keep him at the den, him do another Jed Wallace on us.
Yeah.
So therefore, does he go? If he does go, would that then give Harris the budget to sort of tinker with his 4-4-2, like you said earlier, the big target man, small striker? Would that give him the funds to maybe jig it around a little bit?
I think it's a good question. I think obviously having 4 hours there with Stephen and five on the way back, so we came past Dartford Bridge at rush hour, we was talking about all these topics and Fleming came up. I think, you know, for me, firstly, I want to say to the chat, I backed Fleming through the dark times in the Christmas periods, by the way. I just want to say to everyone, and I'll take you on now. Don't doubt his class. I think he went through a bad spell, but what struck me the most the last couple of weeks with Fleming, the club's done a bit of social media content of the team, and obviously things are a bit better so they can post it, right? Fleming's been very vocal in all these videos, like his personality. He's a leader in that side. I didn't really think it before, but seeing that insight, and there was another video he'd done, I think, with the 72, where they had that influence of PK Humble there, and he'd done it with Joe Bryan. They'd done like set pieces and stuff. I don't know if anyone's caught it, but what I noticed the most there was Fleming's character does shine through in this side, and I think he is a real kind of vocal person that side.
Funny guy.
I think, would he want to be here under Harris and the style of play? And if he had the chance to leave and go to Burnley, let's be honest, Burnley were after him last summer. If they get relegated and they still think he's a target, that's the topic of conversation there. Will Burnley come back in for him? If you get a £7-8 million bid from Burnley, I personally would take it and reinvest it in the squad to give Harris or a new manager the chance to do that and reinvest in the squad.
Especially if they bring Obafemi back as well, having them playing together for next few months together.
Yeah.
But if he goes, but there's also an argument to say, could Casper push for a move this summer if he ain't going to fit into Harris's plan? So arguably we could lose our two best players on a technical level.
Very true.
And is it a rebuild again for the summer of all the players going out?
But then I think
Ferguson back.
Yeah, but also the topic is that Hutchins out of contract, Leonard's out of contract, Bart's out of contract, Savile's out of contract, Bradshaw's out of contract. You know, there's five players in there that are part of the core of this group and have been around for 5 years now.
And you've got the five players that are on loan that are going to go back.
Correct.
As well.
So it is a big rebuild. I mean, maybe there's a question, who do you keep out of the players out of contract? Me personally, I was talking to Stephen on the way home. I said I'd keep Leonard because he's actually been fit most of the season. It goes under the radar, but he's been one of our more available players this season. And also probably George Saville, because I think Saville just in the middle for me. I think despite not being the most technically gifted player, he's a battler in that side. And that's what I think you need someone like that to be around the squad. The rest of them, Bradshaw, I love him. He's been, you know, good for us. But one season's been really good goal scoring. You imagine he's on a fair wage because we signed him for north of £1 million. I probably would think we could get better in for a free transfer for the same wage. That's just my opinion. And then you think about the rest of the players. Sean Hutchinson, great servant, but not fit. You know, these injuries dictate that one really for him. So it's an interesting one, who would keep or who would go. I mean, I don't see Tanganga staying. I think Lille and Blues just put in there Tanganga. But if he keeps playing the way he is, you know,
no chance, have we really?
Someone like Burnley will pick him up on a free transfer if his contract expires this summer, or they'll take him on, you know, from Tottenham for a fair wage, really.
That's it. Guess, Burnley managers
still
the same, still companies.
Yeah.
It's not a different manager. So, yeah, I can see him coming in flair. Can't lose Dinor to keep Saville and Mitchell.
But if we stay up, I definitely would give Fleming a new contract if he wants to stay. That'd be the first thing I'd do. If survival's guaranteed within the next 3 to 4 weeks in an ideal world and there's still 5 games to go, you'd open conversations with him. Say, look,
Would you, Omar? If you need the money to rebuild, though, where's May going to come from otherwise?
I think he's proven he's worth at this level. And I think we're a better team with him in the sides. Ben's argument the other day was, what's the point of playing? Because you're just going over him and, you know, the game's passing by. But this won't last forever. We will have to start playing football in the long term because at the moment we're battling to survive. But I would keep Fleming if I had the chance to offer him a new contract, even if it means to sell him next January. I would give him a new contract just to keep the financial security around him, really.
You would. I completely understand why you would. But would Harris? I don't know whether Fleming's the Harris sort of player, but if he wants to go 4-4-2, the big target man, let's say, I think there's a little bit of reluctance from Fleming to play in that sort of target man role. Although he can probably do it, it's not good to say, but he likes to sort of drop deep, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, it's hard to see where he fits in at the moment, but if he's only got a year left, you've got to tie him down or sell him, right? It's one or the other, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I think Harris would have him. Harris has praised him since he came in, I feel like. Mm. I think Harris would, by, you know, keep him forever, really. But yeah, it's an interesting topic of conversation. And I think a lot of people agree with
him. If both him and Casper stay, because I just think the money's got to be raised somehow. They're not going to keep digging into. It's into the purse strings all the time, are they? So
I know I'm going to go against you on this one, Joe, because I know you like Casper and all as a footballer.
No,
I've said this on a podcast. I remember saying it after, like, when Jonas first came in, and I think the chat went at me, but I still stand by this, right? And I'm not doing the Nora disservice.
Get
here.
Ready, chat. Get ready. Get ready.
I'm not doing the Nora disservice here, but I think the Nora looks like a good player amongst a lot of average footballers. That is my opinion, right? I'm not saying Dinor is shit. I would have Dinor in this side if we're playing a possession-based style of play. But I don't think Dinor is as good as we put him on that pedestal. I think he's one of the better players in the side. I'm not disputing that. But everyone's saying, you know, Dinor's our best player and, like, he's that real match winner. I think there's been 2 games where I've walked out going, fuck me, Casper Dinor was unbelievable today. And that's 2 games in, what, a 35-game season so far. I'm happy to dispute it, and I'm not saying he's a shit player, but I think he's just looked really good amongst a bunch of average footballers this season that have really underperformed.
But isn't that good in itself? The fact
of course it is.
They're average. They're average, and he's good. So,
but I'd argue then with that though, because we're saying, like, I feel like the way some people talk about him is like,
I'll put a loophole up. So the way
No, I'm not saying I don't rate him, though. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, like, a lot of people, how they talk is like, oh, he could do a job in the Premier League. I'm like, I don't see Casper Dinor playing in any Premier League side. I see him playing in about 20 clubs in this division. And that's the point. He's a good championship player. But the way people rave on about Dinor, it's like, he's like, I don't see the hype, like, where he's, like, meant to be, like, real, real quality. He's obviously a good player. And I'm not saying he's shit by any means. I just don't see where the bus is, where everyone's like, his numbers passing wise are clearly good. He gets on the ball. He's looking over his shoulder, looking for the pass. He's looking to play forward. Ticks boxes in that dynamic. But I just don't see the fuss where everyone's like, if we sold him in the summer, it wouldn't be for more than 5 million. in my opinion. Well,
I don't think anywhere near 5 million.
No, but then that's my point. Then he's not that asset to play in the Premier League, I don't think.
But that's
Joe in the listener. He says he's better than anyone we currently have in the middle of the park.
I agree. Also, we got to remember, Omar, is he's a complete player. So it's not just, you mentioned his passing earlier. You mentioned about, you know, how good he is on the ball. But he's off the ball. It's the position he takes up. He's a clever player. Intelligent. His touch is probably one of the best in midfield. His passing range is superb. You put him into a good team where you've got players and strikers and wingers making runs for him to find them, you will see another level of Kasper. So he's good, but I think he'd be better in a better team.
Yeah, and that was the argument Stephen gave me in the car, and I don't dispute it, but I've not seen enough for me to go, he's a well beater. That's my point. Like,
you've seen enough of him. You go home and
enough of him to say that he's a good player. But my point is like, I don't see like the fuss where he's like going to be like. I look at
like is irreplaceable.
Yeah, correct. And that's why I don't think we've missed him the last couple of games, albeit we've changed the style of play and it's different kind of setup completely. But like he came back in under Edwards towards the end, and then we didn't get the better results that Edwards was hoping for. I'm not saying it falls just on Donore for that reason, but like we didn't have. I feel like even the results we got, I'm pretty sure over the Christmas period. Was he injured at the Christmas period when we won the three games back to back? I think he might have been, right.
He was injured, yes.
Yeah. So technically, under Edwards, and listen, I'm not disputing again. Donore's a good player, but. Under Edwards, we won one game with him playing, and we won three others without him playing.
I'm with you, Omar.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.